Welcome to Game Chat, as we discuss the second part of Observer, game about discovery and mystery. That seems correct, I think. Okay, so guys, I think it was right after we, or supposedly right after we hacked into Pieta?
Yes, Pieta.
We stopped right before we got to apartment, or right when we got to apartment 210, or around that area. So what did you guys, how do you think the game is progressing so far?
Progressing good. It's definitely a walking sim.
I don't ever
want to
live in a basement.
Yeah, seriously. I would think that it's kind of on the higher level of a walking sim.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know how many walking sims you've played, but I know that we've played at least one that was kind of like an object, like one in the entire game, and the rest of it was just kind of walking, walking, and walking some more.
Yeah.
Definitely a walking simulator.
There's a lot of hidden parts in this, though. You just have to be brave enough to actually go down all the scary hallways and hope that you don't run into something that'll kill you. Because I know there's a few parts I'm done.
Yeah, there's a couple of areas that you don't have to go into, but you can. You can talk to a lot of the residents that way. Venturing off on your own a bit. But yeah, the basement's scary. I don't know what you have to do to live in the basement, but...
Yeah, who do you piss off to live in a basement?
I basically think it's just the least... Or the least wealthy people.
Sure, yeah.
There's also some other stuff in the basement that doesn't seem like for people's houses.
It seemed like some of the activities that go in the basement were maybe also wanting to stay away from the long arm of the law.
Yeah.
True. Although...
It definitely seemed like they were a little bit shadier in the basement.
Yeah.
And I was like, how would I feel if I stepped out of my apartment? I mean, I wonder if, like, I would love to have seen, like, the inside of an apartment down there.
Yes. I feel like one of the apartments might have pertained to the people that were selling birds or... pigeons, so to speak.
Yeah.
As they refer to them, because there was one of two apartments that were right near each other, and they had a voice clip that you could play from, like, a tape recorder or something of a guy talking to, like 10, 12-year-old kid.
Oh, interesting.
I think there was one room in the basement that you could get into.
I think you're right, Franco.
I remember getting in there. It was basically a smidge bigger than a prison cell.
There's a couple of rooms you can get in. The ones I'm referring to, you kind of have to go down one of the, like, side hallways that's not towards the noisy noises.
Those sounded like they were everywhere for me. It was really hard to tell
where
they were coming from.
Now, was one on the boombox? I couldn't tell when I turned off the boombox. Did it stop, or are there two boomboxes with the same noise? I couldn't tell.
I turned off the boombox, and then I went back to another area, and then I came back to leave, and it was on again.
Yeah, I don't think you can turn off the boombox. I think, because When I went to turn off the boombox, it went all staticky. So I turned it off and then walked away, and then it went back on again.
Yeah.
So it's the creepy haunted boombox.
Doesn't like other people.
I see creepy haunted boomboxes.
Yeah, the basement definitely reminded me of like the basement from Silence of the Lambs. And I thought,
oh,
that's
my gosh.
At first, I thought that's what it was. It was like where the tattoo artist is. The tattoo artist Adam, is that what they were insinuating? I can't.
No, the tattoo artist, I believe, is a completely different person. I think he's like some higher. He was like a higher class citizen that went, or probably lost his license. Or doing stuff, and now it does like illegal surgeries with putting on modifications and stuff.
Okay.
Yeah.
It was
kind of
like, it was weird. I thought Adam was running the chop shop because didn't his storage device work on the computer down there? Or
I think he's working with the doctor tattoo guy is working with Adam.
Because in Helena's dive, like when you're walking around with the laughing child TV that you have to plug in and unplug into everything, the last room that you go into with the TV is the room where you found the body that may or may not be Adam. That's the room that you go into then. So he either like provided the equipment or it was like her contact person for being the mule to get that information out. And I think that's who she was talking to there, was Adam, saying, you know, is this dangerous? Is this like weapons plans or what is this?
Yeah, I think she worked with Adam as far as the storage device stuff is, but the doctor was the one that put it in.
Yeah, I kept wondering about going back to the basement, about those, the floors on the outside were odd. That'd be interesting to walk out in every morning. Nice little cheery reminder of your status in life.
I don't think people really leave their apartments.
Yeah.
I'd be, well, not curious, but I would be concerned for how much that's mud and how much that's waste. Like, honestly, human waste.
Why did you have to say that?
I mean, it is below everything.
It's below everything, and everything is leaking, and there's not running water, it appears, in several of those rooms, so.
Yeah, I didn't see any, like every other, like in the apartment house, there was like bathrooms on the other floors. I don't remember seeing a bathroom in the basement floor.
Okay.
I think one of the rooms had a bathtub.
Okay.
In Amir's room, he had his tub filled with blood.
Yeah. Yes.
I think that was mostly because of the fact that he got killed by the monster thing.
I think that there was like a liner in the tub though. There was like a plastic liner, and it was filled with blood.
Yeah, I'm not sure what was going on there. Now that you mentioned
figured out personally, like what was going on. I was like, is this because of the drug? I mean, is this some kind of drug thing? Or I have no idea.
Right.
I don't think the liner in the flashbacks was filled with blood originally.
Like in present day, like when you go in to hack into him.
Right, the real world scenario, it was filled with blood, yeah.
Well, he kind of has his throat cut open, so it could be his blood.
Well, he was still alive-ish. He was still, like, he wasn't dead yet when you hacked into him, so he still had enough blood to keep him alive. And that liner had, like, multiple persons worth of blood.
Yeah, that was cool.
In the pool, in the little jacuzzi, so.
Interesting.
I don't know what it was. set dressing for your next dead body. I don't know.
Could be us a blood mixed with water.
That's very possible.
Think about the tattoo shop.
Yes, the tattoo parlor.
I was so annoyed at the tattoo parlor. Not for finding the computer or anything, but figuring out how to get out of the most annoying part ever.
To go downstairs, yeah.
I didn't want to look up where to find the keypad to get out. And I eventually did find it, but...
It took me forever. I'm glad that I was not the only person, because, like, I walked around that room, I walked around the outside, because it wouldn't let you out the front door then.
I know.
I walked everywhere. I tried several minutes, like, trying to, because you could uselessly move the light, the light fixture above,
yes, above the seat. Too.
It's like, well, maybe I need to, like, swing this around to where it busts through that window, and I can jump out the window. And so I tried, and I was like this, and I was like, well, maybe I need to, like, maybe there's another clue I need to find through the mirror. No, there's nothing you do with that.
Yeah.
It's just there.
Yeah.
Yes, that was me.
I just so happened to look to the right, and there's the keypad, and I was like, oh, okay.
I thought it was going to be, like, something that you had to do with that little stupid picture that was right next to the mirror. That white picture, because it seemed like that's where you would put a keypad, but it's not. It's just a picture frame that's put there to make you think that there's going to be something there, but there isn't.
All kinds of things to make you think, yeah.
Yeah, I was convinced the magnifying glass with the light, there would be, like, a black light code on the chair, and you have to move it in the right position to see the code, and it's like, and then it's like, yeah.
Such a weird thing. I mean, I understand that, like, they let a few things you could maneuver, like, right. just to give you, you know, just to make it, I guess, a little bit more realistic. But then, you know, at the same time, not everything. You can't move everything. And so when you can move something, you're like, does this have importance? Like, can I use this in a puzzle? Like, sometimes you do, sometimes you don't. Sometimes it's just there.
I was kind of annoyed also at the tattoo parlor, because you could open certain drawers, which ended up having nothing in them, but then other drawers of the same exact thing, like those pull-out cabinets that kind of put usually, like, bigger sheets of paper in or whatever, but they, like, you couldn't pull out ones of another cabinet, but you could of one.
Yeah.
I mean, I get it. I mean, if they put a lot of stuff in there for you to do, like, or, like, that you can fiddle with, that you would, people like me would be there forever, because I'm just, like, I'm the person that opens every cabinet and every drawer and that I can, and I'm just like, oh, like, I mean, this one, yes, but I know in Layers of Fear, like, didn't have anything in, I mean, more than half, like, 90% of the drawers didn't have anything in them in Layers of Fear, but I still... Every cabinet, every drawer I came to, look, you know, like...
50% of Steph's playtime is opening and closing empty drawers.
That might have been why they didn't allow you to open up most of the drawers.
Maybe. They were like, let's let them keep some sanity this game.
Yeah, the cart and the tattoos are...
There's enough stuff in this game to drive you insane, so we'll allow them not to have to open every drawer.
And the fact that your log wouldn't work until you hacked in Helena was, like, driving me bonkers.
Notice that, too?
Yeah, that was a bug. I found it. Or as the kids call it these days, a feature.
I don't know if it's an intentional thing, or some said it was a bug. Yeah, it's unintentional.
Yeah, the mods acknowledged that it was a actual bug, but the fix... whenever they do put a patch out for it, retroactively be applied. So if you want to experience the game without having that bug, you'd have to start over again.
Okay. Exactly what I want to do.
Y'all are upset by the variable interactability of the environment. I am upset that every time Daniel hacks into a brain, he doesn't actually look at the port where he's plugging in the jack. He just jams it at their head.
Yeah. I'm just gonna jab it in there.
If there's not a hole, we'll make one. What are you doing?
Yeah, that's
some of these people are slightly alive still.
Did you get out? Speaking of the hack stuff, where we had talked about last time, I'm not sure if we talked about the words, but the scene of Adam inside the hack. In the basement, there's a bunch of graffiti that ends up saying, like, basically an observer hacking in, the what's seen will not be unaffected by the observer. So the observer's also affecting the vision, which is why the memories Daniel end up intersplicing with the memories of whoever he's hacking.
Yeah, that's interesting that I missed that it addressed that in any way.
It's like Inception a little bit. His knowledge is helping the dream.
Yeah. Have you guys, has anyone here has seen Fringe?
Yes.
TV show Fringe?
I know.
Server on that show as well.
Is there?
Wait, say that again?
The people with the hats, observers, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they're
really
different
spicy
kind.
Food.
A different kind of observer, but I think that was the whole thing with them, was that when they... to be careful about whose lives they kind of
interfere
or how they observe them, because otherwise they would affect history or whatever.
Yeah, because they were going back into the future and into the past.
Yeah.
So.
Apparently, Fox tried really, really hard to get the actor that played the observer a seat on the stage for one of Obama's inaugurations while the show was left.
Nice.
That would have been great.
Actually, the guy that played I can't think of his name, August? I think his name was August? An observer. That was the one that they showed the most. He is actually from West Virginia, and so when I worked at a gift shop, he came through there.
Oh, nice.
Time. And I was just kind of I was looking at him and I was like, he looks like him, but I'm not really sure. And I was like, and I convinced myself it wasn't him. And so when he came up to check out, he bought a coaster or something. And I was like, has anyone ever told you, Michael, can't think of his last name now, simply there, but Michael's, and he was like, and I was like, oh my gosh. And I was like, so I got his autograph.
Oh, cool.
Nice.
He was probably overjoyed that he got recognized.
Yeah, well, I kind of recognized. I was kind of doubtful. I was like, yourself?
That happened to me, too, with someone else. I don't know if anyone's watched Alias or the Limitless TV show. But it was the guy...
I love Alias.
So, the guy who played the leader of the spy organization that was turned out to be the bad guys. The old guy there?
The gray haired guy?
Yeah. He was an older guy. I was working at Brooks at the time, and I could have sworn the guy was in there. And he was wearing this long trench coat type of thing, and
I love him.
I was in such a rush that I didn't get a chance to even, like, bother to ask if it was actually him or not.
That's awesome. Yeah, I love Alias, and I know exactly who you're talking about. I can't think of his character's name, but I know exactly who you're talking about. All right, so back to Observer. Rabbit Trail. So what did you guys think about... So we went to the tattoo parlor. What did you guys think about Helena's hack?
That was interesting. It kind of... Like, the whole office life and everything, where it just... Like, the way that it's envisioned, where... Like, of course she's on a... She's only there for one purpose only, but the fact that she sees everybody as silhouettes and everything, kind of like you're just some little small part of the whole cubicle farm that is an office.
Yeah, it seemed a little... Probably my favorite hack. But it did seem like there were, and I liked the different parts of it, but the different parts of it didn't seem to kind of, sometimes they didn't seem to quite fit together. And it was kind of, I mean, but I guess like it was the one hack that by the end of it, I kind of had a feel for what it was trying to tell me. You know, about what her memories were. The other two, I was just kind of like, this might be what it's meaning, but I'm not sure. But Go ahead, guys.
Yeah, this hack made, I mean, out of the three, yeah, like you said, the most sense. And it had probably the most, aside from the early part of the office space where you're sort of like, really struggling around. Maybe it was just making you familiar before you had to go sneak around and stuff. So it seemed to have, yeah, like a, all right, let's get through the office space and then, you know, you hack the computers and then, you know, survive the thing that's stalking you. So it had at least some semblance of it, where the other two were like sort of just experiencing what was going on in the other person's brain.
Yeah.
I feel like also it also kind of like a sign of like the limitations of like the first two are kind of showing the limitations of it, and also an unexpected thing, because he didn't expect PETA to be able to see
that he was there. Yeah.
And then the other one, he just got kicked out really early because the guy died.
And that's the weird part, that he got kicked out when the dude died, but yet we're able to hack in and see essentially a live feed of a dead person's brain.
Right.
I don't know. This one was... I liked it. It was weird. I think, than the other two for me, because it's like Helena has some underlying anxiety already, even before she got the implant and was being the mule for the information, because like with her relationship with the mirror, she... with all the laundry at the beginning of the dream.
It was
like she saw him and that the big pipe that just like dumped clothes on the laundry, and it's like, honey I'm home dump. Like she just felt trapped, or like he was a giant clothes dumping monster or something. Which is a terrible way to think of the person you're in a relationship with, but I don't know what, like, where
Didn't Amir's flashback, I mean, to me, if I remember correctly, it seemed like it kind of hinted at that he was maybe verbally and physically abusive to her?
Yeah.
I don't remember in the flashback if that was there, but I know that one of the neighbors said something to that effect.
I believe it's implied, like, that could also be partially the reason of, besides drugs, why he had gone to jail.
Yeah,
and also why she'd be afraid. Raptor, whatever.
I think in his head, there was sort of a repeating scene that I think was alluding to that. Just out of curiosity, I died twice sneaking through the way more. Well, not died, but got caught way more in the field with the hovering.
Yes.
I didn't get caught once during the
field. Really?
I got caught a couple times.
Yeah, I got caught about like 18 times in the field. And only twice in the office.
The guy in the office, I died several times. Like, it didn't work out for me. I mean, I was really close to, not giving up, because I had to go through it, but I was really frustrated, and I had to, like, quit a couple of times and just be like, I just need to, like, walk away. For some reason, like, I had the hardest time, and then I may have mentioned this to someone who, I don't know, but I feel like, because, like, it has you run from that monster once, like, you go through one room, and then would have been enough, because it seemed like the one that was right, like, the second time, like, right after that, like, because you go into the next room, and he appears again, and you have to escape him again, I think the one time would have been enough. Like, it was just a repetition of what you had just done.
Yeah.
Like, there wasn't any difference at all. Maybe if you only died a couple of times, it might not but by that second point, I was like, are you freaking kidding? Like, I couldn't, like, right. I just could not. And so, I was probably, you probably took me at least 40, 45 minutes to get through all that, finally.
Yeah.
Okay. Go ahead.
Yeah, the second room was kind of pointless, because, like, you hack the first computer, and then you have to go through completely two rooms before you can download more information.
Yeah.
What are you saying, Frank?
And, like, and then there was, like, I think it's in Helena's hack that you do that, and then, like, a little bit later on, you have to do it again. Yeah. But there's, like, three of them.
Yes, yeah. In the office space.
You can't hide. Like, because if they pass you when you're hidden under the desk, they, or at least with me, they caught me. So you just had to continuously move. Now, that I understand, because it was kind of crescendoing, and there was more monsters, and it was more of a danger. But just those two rooms together, I was like, yeah, this is overkill, but
and I understand it's just trying to emphasize, like, her paranoia, like, I'm gonna get caught, they know they're on to me, blah, blah, blah. I read an article that I'm assuming it's talking about her, but it said that the monsters and the drones and the stuff were supposedly, like, her brains trying to protect you from finding this information, protect her from you finding this information in her head.
Yeah.
But I don't think that's the case, because I think this is much more her dive of everybody's yet has seemed a lot more symbolic of her emotional state, like with the snake and the apple and the monsters hunting her and the drones.
Yeah. I feel like the monsters probably were also added in from, because you end up seeing a monster in Amir's dream, and you're also being hunted by a monster. So I feel like the mutant was essentially either that monster or a modification of whatever that is. that was hunting you in the office.
Mm-hmm. It doesn't... We haven't really got a good look, and I haven't been trying to go out and look at screenshots of these things, but just from what I remember, the monster in Amir, it got Amir, who we saw in his memories, and then in Helena's, seemed a little bit more wiry and a little bit more like thin and long and drawn out than the one that was the guard in the office, kind of. Alan seemed a little bit more tall and stocky.
Yeah, the one that was my impression, that the one that flashed on Amir seemed a little bit bigger, and the one that actually in Helena's remembrance when she finally got to the tattoo parlor and caught up to her seemed like you had to be thin and lanky but that was weird. It took me forever to realize once I entered the code where the door actually opened.
Oh,
what?
I was looking around the room and I'm like, okay, now where do I go? Oh, you walk through that thing. Okay.
What now?
Yeah.
Yeah, I kind of figured it was behind the mirror because I believe you end up seeing the mirror in the memory that she ends up having. Or you see something that looks like a mirror in the memory when she's going and getting the operation.
Okay. Yeah, I really liked the, and then also, I think this was in Helena's, and I think you mentioned it, Madeline, was the guiding the little, like, TV child, little floating.
Yes.
Yes,
that would giggle
yes.
and then cry when you left it. Like left that was this thing. But still, like I was kind of like, oh, this is kind of interesting. Like I'm not really sure I understood altogether what it was trying to symbolize, but it was interesting.
I got something which is probably not what they were intending to get, but an adult's, or most anybody's response to a crying child is to try and stop the crying. So if you try and comfort it, you shut the door between you and the child, whatever you're going to try and do, but cease the crying is the immediate response. And it
right.
kind of, because it was a television, I
yeah.
took it to be basically like the almost Skinner box technology that social media has become. Like Facebook will give me a notification and be like, your post got 18 likes, you know, keep sharing to keep in touch with your friends. And I'm like, stop, like that's not even a thing, like just
right.
tell me if I needed something important, but why are you like, you're just trying
yeah.
to make me do more stuff. I don't really like that.
No, exactly.
That's kind of what it reminded me of with the TV, because every time you grab the cable and took the TV with you, you'd be like, yay, it's happy. And then you drop it or leave it and walk too far away in another room and yell it.
It would just wail. It would mm-hmm. just wail.
Yeah, that was actually, I don't want to say a good part, but it was a part where you felt like, okay, now I'm doing something. Now I'm figuring out, you know, how to get from room to room. You know, you were doing something. You were not, yeah, like you said, a work simulator. It felt like you were actually
puzzle solving.
Yes, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Did anybody find the car in that when guiding around the television?
There was the car?
Yeah.
No.
Because in if you end up going, because at one point there's a hallway with there's like a door that you have to open, and then inside that there's like another door. But if you end up going down a hallway, there's a another room that's kind of like a little kid's room that has a RC car in it. And if I'm not sure if it's because I ended up finding all the other RC cars in the around the building, but you end up getting a memory of Adam. as a little kid.
Yeah, I think I remember seeing an RC car in the building, like when I was down, like going through the hallways or something, but I don't think I saw it in this one.
There's about two or three cars. The one inside her hack looks like the actual car, whereas most of the ones in the building are like broken, open, whatever.
Like a motherboard with wheels, basically.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of, I really, really liked the cornfield being all the cables.
Yeah.
That was really.
Oh, yeah. The fiber optic.
I don't know what kind of cables
they were. They seem sort of fiber optic cables / computer power cables.
No. I'm thinking about something else later on, I think. Not sure if I remember the field with the wires.
Yeah, when you're dodging the
flying drones.
The hover things with the lights.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It was
not
ribbon cable or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. That's interesting. Yeah, I didn't have any trouble. I don't think I was caught once the entire field sequence.
I just got impatient. That's why I got caught.
I mean, you just had to stay in the grass.
There was no sprint button. It's like at certain points, you know, it's like when the one thing, it's like, okay, now I sprint. And it's like, no, I gotta walk.
I was
excruciating pace. Right.
Anytime I heard them, I was like, I would stop. It took me a bit to get through it, but and then when I got to the, you know, I used up all my patience in that one, and then when I got to the monster, I was just like, you couldn't see him coming. Like, I couldn't tell. Like, sometimes you would hide under a desk and you could like look out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like there were like little holes or cracks or whatever that you could see him. But I'd always exit too soon and try and sneak too far, and just you would go ape crazy.
It was possible to back up just enough that you end up having like a weird sort of peak feature, kind of like when you're sprinting, you end up zooming in a little bit. So kind of using that type of thing. I finally had more trouble with the first part of it rather than the sneaking around to the different computers and downloading it. But I ended up freaking out once because the first computer that I had, which was all the way over to the left, I ended up clicking on the printer that was right next to the computer and freaking out that it was going to go and like call the monster over to me, which it didn't, which was kind of disappointing.
Yeah.
But yeah, so when you hear a old printer from like the 80s, like just chugging away, you're like, oh God, no.
This is it. I'm dead.
Did it print anything out for you, Kevin?
Possibly. I didn't bother to look.
I tried to stand up really fast and look, and it didn't print out anything. So I had another one that printed out like one of the little camp picture collectible things.
Yeah.
It didn't.
I wish I had known that.
Well, I didn't see it. I looked and it didn't print out anything. So I don't know if. You've
done
something extra
in that work for you. Yeah, you definitely get one in the kitchen when you set the clock to the right time. It prints out one of the collectible, which I've gotten, I think, trophy for 10, but I don't know really how many I have. I should have.
Any, but yeah.
Yeah,
I got a few. Got a few.
But I got a trophy for talking to 20 people.
I'm going to try to at some point play through the game and get the achievement for getting all of them. which is not going to be fun because I think there's like 65 or 64 of them.
Oh my god.
Grief. Good grief. No thanks.
Yeah, there's a lot.
I probably got, I mean, I maybe close to 20. I mean, it was a few. It was quite a few. Any other parts in this that you guys had trouble with or enjoyed specifically?
I didn't.
Go ahead, Melon.
The bit with the tentacles in the kitchen, right before you could fill your child computer or child TV thing. I wasn't really sure what that was trying to say.
Yeah.
I wasn't sure if it was if she felt like that. Having the thing inside her felt like she had a monster inside her that was about to bust out. That's the only thing I could get, and that's only kind of a meh conclusion. I couldn't really get anything from that part.
Were you talking about the stuff that, like, was it a more organic tentacle thing, or was it that cable snake thing?
No,
it's like the observer.
It was an organic tentacle. It was like an actual like octopus, like tentacles, I think.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then you turn around, and there's that massive heart in the doorway, and then you then you have to like pull the plug on the floor, and then
the room drain it
drains up. Yeah, it is all weird.
Yeah, there were some strange things. I mean, yeah, I wish that I could read something or that there was some kind of explanation somewhere that the creators could explain, like, what it all means, because I'd be interested.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, some things I'm just like, it's completely, I'm just like, oh, that's kind of cool. I don't know if that means anything or, you know, I mean, and then that could be it. Maybe, I mean, who knows? They may just throw things in just to be like, well, this would be kind of cool. You never know. You don't know.
Yeah.
But, but, yeah, something, yeah. I don't know. I don't know. I would definitely like explanation, but of course it's not going to come. But left to ruin devices.
Yeah, definitely could have. They could have. Probably with the, especially with the people you hack into, you know, you could have found some more of their journals or emails or something that.
Exactly. Like, and if, even if they didn't want to go the text route, because I understand that some developers and gamers and stuff hate, like, finding documents, like, finding journal entries and stuff. Like, I mean, they could even, like, have, you know, as thrilling as his voice is, have Dan, you know, kind of comment on things or maybe give like a brief summary after the hack and be like, oh, well, it looks like she was trying to blah, blah, blah. And I think that would kind of something to that effect would kind of assist in interpreting, oh, that's what that was about. Okay.
They do have, well, it's not really exactly what you want, but you know, whenever you end up starting up the game, they do summarize kind of what you had last done.
Mm-hmm. It's like a log back in kind of thing.
Yeah.
When I have to log in and log out, like, every time that I don't understand something?
Yep.
Previously on Lost.
Hey. Yeah, I mean, actually, that's what I want. That's what I want, you know? How do you guys feel like the game, when we still have, I mean, after tonight, like, we'll be finishing the game, we have about maybe an hour and a half left to play, I would say, the stopping point, which it's fine if you went on a little bit ahead, but, yeah, if you stopped at around 2:10, then half at the around that. I mean, how do you guys think that the game is progressing? I mean, do you feel like you're have a grip on the story at all, or do you feel like it's kind of all over the place?
I feel like certain parts are kind of all over the place, because they do give you some direction, but you are still kind of left to wander on your own. So it can be kind of hard to find exactly the way side quests lead to and stuff.
Yeah, it's. I mean, I'm, you know, don't get me wrong, I'm all for, you know, games that don't railroad you into a direction so much. But this one is not giving you much help as, you know, a general pointer of, you know, what you should be doing. So, I mean, it seems like, you know, all this stuff you're, at least with the physical evidence of the crime scenes, it's like it's not really going anywhere. It's just like...
Yeah.
It's nebulous. It's unimportant. And some of the stuff is like, you know, it's like, well, you know, you went to the trouble to put this object in the world for me to pick up, and then it's like, yeah, I don't do anything with it. It's like the light with the magnifier or the power pack and the tattoo artist's thing. It's like, I felt for sure that I had to go back and get the power pack when the computer downstairs said low power. I said, oh, there we go, power pack. Let me go get it. I can't pick it up.
Oh, yeah.
You know? It's like, oh, that seemed bloody obvious. It's like, oh, just go right and get the power pack. No, go find someone in the back of the room. Oh, okay. But I did enjoy go fishing for the grate.
Oh.
With the hook. But still, yeah, it seemed like the game is sort of like, yeah, all over the place is a good way of putting it. It's you're lacking some, you know, it says like, check out who the owner of the tattoo parlor is. And I went to the custodian's office to look it up at the computer, and it's like, there's no reference. So eventually I'm like, finally stumbled back into the courtyard, and there's the custodian standing there, and it's like, oh, this is just like, you know, just go and talk to the custodian and he'll tell you. Yeah. So it's a little, I mean, it's an interesting, going back, it's an interesting concept. It's an interesting story. It's just, it's, the execution is not quite, you know, could be better. But
I agree with you, Frank. It's a hard balance to strike, because they're wanting to do a lot of the walking simulator stuff still, and yet kind of turn it on its head. So instead of like picking up a whole bunch of journals and reading them or newspaper, or, you know, we do get into get people's computers some, but not a lot. Instead, we're just walking around and buzzing people's doors and getting little bits of story from them, maybe not. And so that cuts down, like, you're still getting some story and interaction and walking around and exploring an environment somewhat, but then you're not having to animate all these characters, and you still need voices, but you don't have to, it's not quite the RPG in the same way that it would be if you were actually going to go and talk to them character to character face.
Just let me get an eyeball and a monitor.
It's like, can none of these people like use their I mean, like,
I know.
None of them use the technology correctly. Like, they're just like eyeballs or mouths. It's like, do you know like how to stand back and like?
have you seen some of the people in our society today? I think you're getting like a little.
Every single person in the building.
No one knows how to use the monitor correctly.
That's why they're in the Cedrus district.
Yeah, that's true. They cannot operate technology properly. They failed the first test. The first thing when I saw those eyes in the monitors, I thought of Mist. I'm like, this looks like the guy in the book, you know?
Yeah.
Does anybody feel like this essentially, at least this game, to some extent, could be kind of like a first, or like the original kind of point and click, the non-mucus phlegm versions with the ones that had dead ends, but like a first person version of that, where I'm kind of like walking around and clicking on a lot of things and
stuff. I mean, that's what Josh was talking about a couple weeks ago on the Facebook page, was these types of games do that because they're the first person adventure games, but they're not just walk around and have a narrator tell stuff to you because you're actually interacting with your environment and making stuff happen. So,
did on an unrelated note, did anyone notice the Layers of Fear poster?
No.
In the room with the gelatinous pig thing?
Oh, I haven't done that yet.
Oh.
I read about it, though. But I want to go to the apartment that ends up leading you to that.
Yeah, okay.
So keep an eye out for the Layers of Fear poster, guys. It's right after.
See, at least, you know, with Layers of Fear, it's, you know, you can certainly see where it's the same engine because of the way the drawers operate and stuff like that. But that game, at least, you know, you were building a story as you went. You know, you were understanding, you know, his interaction with his wife and all that stuff and their kid.
Yeah, yeah. Layers of Fear seemed more concise to me than, like, you, I mean, there were still things that were kind of left to, for you to imagine what they mean, the symbolism, but symbolism that was left unexplained.
Right.
Seems like that they might have gotten a little. I mean, this is just, and we still have, you know, you guys still have to finish the game, but just even so far from what we played, like, it just seems like they've gotten a little ambitious with their storytelling, and I mean, with the gameplay and the mechanics, and they just kind of, I think they success, which is good, which is what they should be doing, but got a little too ambitious.
They went for the European cut of Blade Runner, which has no Harrison Ford narration.
But they also are doing a 1984 version of Cyberpunk, which is weird.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because Cyberpunk seems to more be the barrier. They're like, what is the edge between man and machine and stuff like that. And 1984 is much more, there are cameras everywhere and nothing is unseen.
Right. It's 1984 is if without the technology, same concept, but 1984 basically doesn't have the technology, just the oppression of people. But anyway, what was I? I had a thought and it flittered away.
But was there creepy dolls at all in Layers of Fear?
A couple, if I remember.
Okay, because did anybody go into 303? I think it was. It's third floor apartment where you end up going through one door and then you go through another door that's behind a keypad. And in that room, it has a room full of dolls and one very large lifelike doll.
There was a large baby there, yes. Which scared the heck out of you whenever it happened.
Yeah, that was a doll.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't show.
That was the whole thing, was that, I mean, it was the baby room.
Yeah.
Baby room, and it started spinning around, and then all of a sudden the closet opened up, and there's a huge baby head.
Yeah, baby eye looking at you.
Help me. It killed me. Oh, Lord. Okay.
Yeah, but this, the there's a fun article on the computer, but the doll is especially creepy. If you haven't gone to see it and you can actually go still and see it, I recommend going into that apartment. And that can spoil the scare.
For sure. It's funny. It's crazy. I mean, anything else you guys want to discuss about the Observer so far?
It's boring.
So you're not playing it, dude. Like, there's definitely a difference between playing a game and watching it being played.
Are you solving puzzles? Yeah, are you solving puzzles before the dude again?
Yes. Which gets frustrating because it's like,
yep.
What the hell are you doing? You're clearly supposed to do this and not that. Yeah.
Yep.
But with that being said, though, horror really isn't my genre, I guess.
Yeah.
And it's really has no... With this game, there's nothing that's really keeping my interest at all.
I can understand that. I mean, yeah. there's the fleshing out of the story between Dan and Adam isn't really happening. I mean, it's like sort of
nebulous. And the problem is, too, it's like that the majority of this game is just going around and talking to eyeballs or mouths on the door. And it's just really kind of boring after a while where it's
you don't
like,
find that fascinating, Steve?
Like, oh, well, this is what the game is now. Well, this isn't really interesting, and I don't really think it's worth $30, but...
Did he talk to the captain that was in the Meat Hook Galaxy downstairs?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Takes off the VR helmet, yeah.
That was the guy that was stuck in the VR machine. At first, I was like, is he forgetting something? Like, I thought it was someone with, like, dementia or something, you know, that had just, and then I was like, oh, he spent so long in this, which that's one thing, that's one of the things that, like, once that happened and I experienced that little tidbit of story, I was like, you know, some of these, like, characters that I'm talking through in the door, I would actually like to know more about. Like, I would like to know their story. And that was like, that was probably the most, it's probably the most interesting thing for me, the game, looking back on it, was the conversations that I would have with those people through the doors. Like that one, I was like, wow, like this guy has been on VR for so long that he's forgotten.
Right.
Like, yeah, I mean, he thinks he's the captain, like he thinks he's his captain. He's forgotten who he is, like as a person. Well, I thought that alone is like a killer story.
So, and the other thing too is it seems like he had a feeding tube in there too.
If you're going to spend that long in VR, I mean, there are people I've seen with like, they don't get up to pee. They just pee in a bottle.
Yeah. It almost kind of approached or went a even further approach to the VR than what happened in the anime Sword Art Online where they ended up I don't know how many of you have actually seen it, but they end up
in the first episode, so don't spoil anything.
It's not that big of a spoiler if you've seen the first episode.
When they end up all getting stuck, they're eventually all the people that are stuck in the VR are stuck in the game still, their families move them all into hospitals because they have to stick them all up into IVs and stuff because
if you take off the helmet you kill them.
Well, of course yeah, and you still have to feed the body. I mean, you know, again,
they should have that would have been a neat note to developers. If you, like, you know, get one of those achievements, like you talk to 20 or more people or whatever the number is at the end of the game, like if you successfully unlock the lockdown, like you should be like stand out in the courtyard and have them all file past you so you can see what they look like.
Oh, this guy. I want to know more about that guy and the hooker in the basement. I want to know more about, she was nice.
I wasn't sure if it was a hooker or if she was supposed to be a sex bot.
I think she was just a prostitute.
Yeah, because she talked like she was the sex bot that you end up.
And the one woman, which was weird because she said she was trapped, but she ended up there because she she knew what she was getting into and stuff like that.
It was and like, he was in the walls.
Ooh. Yeah.
Wait, what?
Yeah. She was all paranoid and saying she was trapped, and then, and he was trying to go in and help her. Like, Dan was honestly, concerned for her safety, which I thought was interesting as well. And, she was like, no. Yeah, she said that he was in the walls, that...
He's definitely...
And...
Yeah, that was a weird... Yeah, that was...
So either she feels... So either, number one, she's on drugs, or number two, it's already, the security cameras everywhere, so I'm sure...
Yeah.
People have that in their own apartment.
Mm-hmm. So this is a person in the basement?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah. I might not have talked to her, because I think you can go back to the basement, because I still needed a few things to do in there. But yeah.
Yeah, that's a good point, Stanton. I mean, because I watched most of Layers of Fear before I played it, and I still wanted to play it after I watched it.
Yeah, I have no intention of playing this game.
Watching it. And so, I mean, it does say something that, I mean, if you're completely bored watching the playthrough, then you either have a horrible person playing it, or,
Well, I think with me, though, it's just the story itself is just not doing anything for me whatsoever.
Yeah, it's not, I mean, as I said, it's kind of all over the place, and it's kind of, we still have an hour, a bit to go, but a little bit, but, I look forward to discussing that with you guys after you play it, because that's,
There better be a payoff at the end, I'll tell you that.
You're going to be disappointed, I'm sorry.
No payoff for me.
Oh, God.
It's if you came here looking for a good time, you're going to be disappointed.
I know, yeah. I've enjoyed what I've played. I mean, it's been an interesting experience. But I definitely thought it... We'll discuss that next week. What's up, Kevin?
Oh, I kind of hope that if they... Well, even though this game's not going over too well with certain people, that
it's Snow White Knight.
It's Snow White Knight.
What?
I'm sorry. Two of you guys weren't here we played the game White Knight last year. Was it early last year?
Second game that we played when we first started.
It was the worst. We didn't even finish it. It was the only game we have not finished in yet, chat.
Oh, gosh.
But I hope that they, since there's so much built into this world, that they make, another game set in the same universe, even if it's not with the same characters.
Because
you won't be able to continue with these same characters.
I kind of hope that they just scrap this and just say, hey, let's do something different.
A game set in this world would be interesting, where you play as an observer that's younger and actually does more stuff, and goes to the other classes of apartments and involves you going around to a lot of different buildings and stuff like
that. Yeah, I think a more fleshed out non-walking sim would be a lot more interesting.
Yeah, I have a feeling that that's kind of this team seems to like to, which is fine. I don't have a problem with walking sims.
No, just
this one's too convoluted. There's just a bunch of stuff and it's not explained. And
it's just there is an intriguing underlying story here.
Yes, exactly.
But I think with them doing it as a walking sim, really hinders the narrative that they're trying to portray.
Right. If you had to answer that question, that would be a difficult question to answer. What is the narrative? It's all we know is there's this evil corporation and something's going on, and he's looking for his son Adam. That's about what I could tell you about the narrative, you know, what the story is.
Well, I mean, when I say that, I think I'm more talking about the world as a whole.
Oh, yeah.
Rather than just what's his face as a as an observer.
Right. Dan, yeah.
Yeah, because it's like a post third world war or something.
Yeah. It's an interesting premise, but yeah. They just don't follow through with the story and connecting everything. And yeah. But anyways, yeah. So we said we still have a bit, so we should probably. It's 10:16. But thank you guys for. All
right.
And chatting. Those of you celebrating Thanksgiving, have a lovely Thanksgiving on Thursday.
Even if
you're not celebrating Thanksgiving, eat a lot. Then Madeline will be eating a lot tomorrow.
Yes.
So, you know, I mean, that's I'm ready to make a joke, but it's not, you know, that's what it's about, is eating a lot, but, you know, other stuff too.
That's true.
Other stuff too.
Thankful for the lots of food.
Yeah.
Exactly. All right, guys. So next week, we'll be finishing up Observer. I'm sure we'll all have very fascinating conversations regarding.
Oh, yeah.
All right, guys. Adios. Right. Have a good weekend.
Bye. Bye.